This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Allie and I live in Southern California. I'm a huge fan of OTI. Their joyful outlook on sobriety is what finally inspired me to quit drinking. I've been a member since day one and I'm rapidly approaching 365 days alcohol-free, which is unreal. I love that Ben and Shaz are not just the podcast hosts. They also openly engage with members during the multiple weekly Zoom meetings and interact on the community member forum. You will not find a more supportive group of people. There's nothing like this in the United States. I'm beyond grateful to be a part of the Sober Rebellion.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It's marvellous to have you listening. If you are tuning in and you are sort of, how many days will you be through October now? I don't know. You could be listening at any point during October. If this is you and you are trying Sober October for the first time, big up your bad self. It's where it all starts. It really, really does. Lovely to have you listening. As I said, a quick introduction as to who we are, or if you've been listening from the beginning, a reintroduction. My name's Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. Officially 5+ years alcohol free. Very long story short, drank too much, too quickly, too often, decided to take a break from booze. I thought it would be absolutely awful because who could have fun without alcohol every single day and more at weekends? It turns out I can. And I absolutely fell head over heels in love with a life of sobriety. It's ace. And it's a privilege to bang on about it week in, week out on this podcast. But I don't do it on my own. Oh no, my very sober co-host, hello.
Hello, my name's Ben. I am 3 years and 3 months alcohol free. I live in Liverpool. I am father to Leo, husband to Jem. It's been a long day. In fact, you know what, Shaz? For the first time in a while today, I had that kind of, you don't drink
did you?
Reaction from someone who's known me for 3 months. Someone I'm working with, got a new job about 3 months ago. And I thought, do I not look fresh and energised? Then I realised, no, I probably don't. It's only Tuesday, it's already been a long week. No, for me, I was a classic binge drinker, I suppose. I didn't drink every day, but I went out on a Friday night and I really put them away. And it didn't take me much convincing to get out on Saturday night as well. And I just feel crap all week. And I never intended to give up alcohol forever. In fact, I'm 3 years, 3 months into this. Originally, the plan was just 3 months. So 3 years ago today, I would have been going back to drinking how I was drinking before. But then I thought, you know what, let's try it till six. It's been a good experiment so far. Let's just push it a little bit more. Then I got to 6 months and went, let's just push it a little bit more. How cool would it be to say I've been a year without booze? And I got to that day 366 and I had a year of data. And I thought, right, non-drinker me versus drinker me. There's no comparison. Don't laugh, shall we?
I'm sorry, it's just so you. I had a year of data and I got out my highlighters and my graphs. Yeah. But you are so right, but it is so you.
Yeah, in a year, I had my birthday, I went to a wedding, it was Christmas, all the kind of things that you do come up against in year one. I ticked them all off and I thought, you know what? Every single one of those was better because I was alcohol free. Anyway, Shaz, it's not about us, this podcast. It's all about our guest. Over to you for the big intro.
Thank you kindly. Really excited about today's chat. I really, really am. And I feel like I should probably begin with an apology because when I first met Helen, which was at a training day of all things a couple of weeks ago, we got chatting and Helen told me about the podcast that she did. And then she just said, and I haven't drunk for 2 years. And I went, whoa. We need to speak. There's so much to talk about. So it gives us great pleasure today to welcome Helen Brown, producer and co-host. Helen is from Manchester, producer and co-host of the Effin' Hormones podcast. Great name for a pod, Helen. Welcome to us.
Great to meet you. Thanks for that. Lovely intro.
You're more than welcome.
I didn't come up with a name. It's Beena. From the podcast who came up with that. And I did fret about it for a long time. I was like, would anyone want to interview me if we call it Effin' Hormones? Because it's a bit like a swear
it's
word.
It's a little bit sweary, but it's brilliant.
But no one cares. Everyone loves it. It's fine.
Really, really good. As I just mentioned there, Helen, in the intro, I feel like I did ambush you a little bit, because you sort of have this this magnet, don't you? Because we talk so often about how sobriety, it's a lonely road and all the rest of it, and you feel like a bit of a sober lone ranger. And then when somebody goes, oh, me too, hello, me, you're like, boom, straight in. And it was fabulous to connect with you. And I know Ben's going to be really excited about this episode, because a lot of what we talk about, yes, we have guests on the podcast that have experienced rock bottoms, that have had to stop drinking for, you know, a variety of really serious reasons. But also we love chatting to people that didn't necessarily have a rock bottom, and that there's various different reasons you could choose to stop drinking, whatever those reasons may be. Loads to talk about. Let's just start with you. Tell us a little bit about you and what led you to a couple of years of sobriety, Helen.
Well, I mean, very much like Ben, actually, I was a classic binge drinker. I drank a lot in the 90s, you know, and culturally there was the whole Ladette thing. There was the whole sort of, yeah, there was a binge drinking culture for sure. And I partook fully in that, and I enjoyed it very much, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I can remember going out to bars in Manchester and going, aha, I want 5% lagers only, you know, just being really kind of gung-ho about it. And I really, really was involved in that way. And then I started calming down a bit as I sort of traveled through my 30s. And then it was more sort of like, you know, half a bottle of wine on a Wednesday night watching telly, actually probably more like three quarters of a bottle of wine just on a Wednesday night watching telly, not even thinking about it. Do you know what I mean? The amount of units I was packing away, and I'm only 5'2", right? I mean, it must have been having quite a big impact on my body in comparison to other taller, bigger people than me. And so, you know, booze was part of my life. It was very much part of socializing, and I enjoyed it, you know. And what happened was I basically started to experience lots of gut health problems, which I've subsequently discovered. And it's taken me 7 years to find this out and 2.5 years of making a podcast to find out that actually I was down to perimenopause.
Wow.
So, but no one, see, you don't go to the GP and they don't say, aha, this is what's happening. It's happening because of this, this and this. I just started noticing that. Just backtrack a little bit. I've gone through my binge drinking phase. I've gone through the like half to three quarters of a bottle of wine, red wine on my Wednesday night watching telly phase. Then I got into real ale, which my partner was delighted about. And I just like, oh, these lovely like craft beers, and not drinking as much, but actually really appreciating these different beers. And my partner was delighted because that's what he likes to drink. And then I just started noticing that I was just feeling more and more poorly. And it got to the point, this gradually, incrementally sort of crept up, and it got to the point where I could drink a quarter of a glass of red wine and I would have the most storming hangover you could possibly imagine. And I felt absolutely terrible, and I was thinking, what is going on here? And actually my other perimenopause symptoms were sort of rising at the same time, became intolerant to lots of different types of foods, and I was getting migraines and heart palpitations at 2 o'clock in the morning if I'd had a drink. And I just didn't know what was happening. And there's one point, one particularly bad point, where I just went out for my partner's birthday meal, just went out for pizza, you know, had a little boy by this point, so I was hardly going mad. You know, I had like 2 glasses of white wine with this pizza. And by 2 o'clock that morning, I was in A&E having, you know, I can't remember what it's called, but you know, the test where they test your heart and put loads of stickers all in your chest, because my heart was racing. And I called 111, I described my symptoms, and they were like, we think you need to get down to A&E actually. So that was not a pleasurable night. You know, I'm sort of kipping on the really uncomfortable chairs in A&E, finally get seen. They can't find anything wrong with me, you know, at all. And got home the next day, went to sleep. I mean, this was all night I was there. And I just thought, you know what, I've got to stop drinking, because this is what happens when I have a drink. I've got to stop drinking.
You know what? It's really interesting. And Shaz, I'm not going for the question you think I'm going to go for. Just so you know, Helen, I'm pretty interested in women's health. I've produced a podcast called The Vagina Monopod, and I learned an awful lot of obviously stuff that it never really impacted my life before. But I think that men should know this stuff as well as women, be thoroughly educated in it too.
Yeah, anyway, 100%.
I'm sure we'll come on to that. I think what we try and do here at Over the Influence is we talk a lot about early intervention when it comes to removing alcohol. You don't have to have a rock bottom. You know, we had one of our first ever Zoom calls. I say this all the time. Wise Tim said to us, I didn't have a rock bottom, but I could see it from where I was standing. Billy Connolly said, I stopped drinking alcohol whilst it was still my idea. You know, this is a really important part of Over the Influence. We don't talk necessarily, in fact, our premium podcast last week, we talked about the label of alcoholic and actually looking at drinking and kind of the harm that drinking can cause on a scale from harmful to hazardous to dependent is potentially more useful as a way of kind of talking about alcohol rather than you are either an alcoholic or not an alcoholic. I think the bit that I want to pick up on that is really interesting, that what you said there, and I think this is a really important message that we first covered it with. Do you remember Sarah Turner, the Unmumsy Mum, Shaz?
Yes.
And she talked about how when she was drinking in her 20s, it was fun. She enjoyed it. But when she got into her 30s, it just didn't fit with her lifestyle anymore. And that's a good enough reason itself, isn't it? I think having that self-awareness to go, you know what? We don't want to demonize alcohol here. We don't want to judge drinkers. For us, we always say this, it's just for us, we're better off without it. But I just think that's really interesting that you're quite happy to say, actually, you know what? I did, like, alcohol was fun. I did enjoy those nights out in my 20s. But as I got older, for different reasons, it just didn't work for me anymore.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, actually, after getting booked to do this podcast, I've been thinking about it. And when I look back now as a, you know, a proud 48-year-old, I'm very happy to say that. When I look back, I realise that actually quite a lot of the drinking was masking social anxiety, really. Right. And I don't think that's something that I would have realised until I hit my sort of mid to late 40s. You know, I've been through some stuff. You know, we talk a lot about therapy, going through therapy and experiencing mental health problems and experiencing the physical health problems on effing hormones. And I've learned a lot of stuff. And actually, when I look back, I realised that there was social anxiety involved in me going out and having a few beers. At the same time, I did enjoy it. And there were times when it was absolutely fine. But yeah, there were other times when I was definitely drinking too much because of that anxiety.
It's really interesting, isn't it, how once you've removed the alcohol and you look back, you can see obviously more clearer the reasons why you were drinking, you know. And I'm still learning now, Helen, and we're 5 years down the flipping road, and I think, oh, when's it ever going to stop, this journey of self-discovery? Tell us more about that, and if you don't mind, and the reasons why you were drinking. What was it like feeling social anxiety and then obviously having to socialise without the booze?
Well, I had absolutely no idea that I was experiencing social anxiety. I didn't even know that I had social anxiety until, I mean, the reason why I had therapy in the end was after I had my son, I had a traumatic birth experience and, yeah, experienced trauma from that, which was undiagnosed for a couple of years. And because it was undiagnosed for a couple of years, I developed generalized anxiety disorder. So I tipped up at my therapist and I talked to him and he was like, oh, I think this, that and the other. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I'm very gregarious, right? I'm an extrovert. I love people, love chatting, love being out and about. I had absolutely no concept that you could experience social anxiety and be a very bubbly, gregarious, outgoing person. But, you know, a few years down the line, I ended up having about 3 years of therapy on and off, which I must say, like, I feel very privileged and lucky the fact that I was able to do that, because it's expensive, quite frankly. But if you do have the resources to be able to do that, my gosh, I think everybody should do therapy. It's just been the best thing ever for me, because it's given me the kind of insights that I'm talking to you about right now, that actually, yes, you can be massively gregarious. And as a matter of fact, do you know what? Go in a group and spot the big gregarious, lovely, bubbly, entertaining everybody people. I guarantee you that like at least 80% of them will be anxious in some way, because, you know, you want to bring people around. You kind of start performing in front of people. You want everyone to be happy and everyone to get on. And, you know, there's stuff going on underneath there. So, you know, it took me a long time to have that realization, and I worked very hard at it. But I think that the therapy experience and being the age I am and not caring about not drinking anymore, I feel that I can now be in social situations and not drink and be so, have my head screwed on about that and be so much more fine about it than had I not gone through that therapy experience, you know?
It's I'm only laughing. I think it's like a nervous laugh. It's like you're talking about me. That whole, oh, party animal, gregarious, that's so fun, here comes the centre of the party.
Yeah.
And yet prior to arriving at that party, I'd have had a skimful in order just to bring it down. And like you say, right, here we go, ready to go now to entertain the troops. Mm. And my mega fear, Helen, at first was removing that alcohol and then removing everything I perceived to be fun, thinking, well, my world's just going to come crashing down. But once you, in many ways, relearn everything and really handpick the things that you want to do and you don't want to do, socialising and laughing and talking and all the rest of it, it's wonderful, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, I'm a lot calmer now, generally. Look, I'm not 25 anymore. I mean, I used to be a raver. Do you know what I mean? I used to go out to techno clubs and, like, you know, that was what I did. I loved it. I did have an experience a couple of years ago. I went on holiday and randomly bumped into some friends of ours who have been really good pals, not seen them for a few years, on a beach in Wales, right? And they were sat on the beach and they'd taken, like, a cool box down and they had, like, you know, all these lovely, like, cans of, you know, the cans of G&T and, you know, cans of this, that and the other. And because I hadn't seen them for a while, they'd known the old me. They'd known the sort of, like, party animal me. And that's the only time I've had a really big wobble, because there was that big gap. And I was like, afterwards, I was like, I'm a different me. What if they don't like me as much? What if they're not as interested in me? Because I'm a different me now. And I'm very happy being the different me. And I feel very confident being the different me. But that was really interesting experience for me, because let's face it, you know, it's post lockdown. I work from home now. I've completely changed my life over lockdown. And, you know, I don't go out as much. My idea of a good time now is like going and hanging out with mates in a cafe in the daytime, right? Or going to an art gallery and having a nice coffee and cake or something. Do you know what I mean? I'm a 48-year-old working mum. I get tired. I don't want to go out. Like,
I hear you, sister.
Listen to me. Like, you know, do you want to go out to the pub tonight? Do you want to go out to, you know, gig? Or, you know, one of my mates, I've got these mates, they're much younger than me, and they were like, do you want to go to this club night with, you know, some DJs that I would have been like, oh my God, I'd love to see that DJ. I was like, it doesn't start till 11 o'clock.
That's ridiculous. Helen, that's absolutely ridiculous.
No, I'm very much a sort of like, you know, if I could go to an afternoon rave, afternoon sober rave, that would be fine. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know really. Anyway, listen, it was fine with those friends on the beach. They didn't have a problem with it at all, but they asked me lots of questions about it. So it's just, and it was interesting, you mentioned at the start, then, you know, that conversation with people that you don't drink. And you're like, I'm kind of like, well, no, why would I want to? It doesn't do anything for me. But listen, and then people go all funny. And like, because I had a little Christmas party with my team last year, and we all worked remotely, so we'd not met before, and all the young ones, they didn't want to drink because I wasn't drinking. I was like, for God's sake, get a bloody beer in, you know what I mean? I don't care. And then they relaxed. Like, I had to have the conversation with them, so show that I was cool. So all that stuff is a bit of, like, you know, just chill out, everyone. Chill out.
Helen, where do we start when it comes to effing hormones then?
Crikey. Well, effing hormones is, I mentioned that I'd sort of experienced a trauma and I'd gone through this very deep and meaningful and completely new Helen experience from doing a lot of work on my mental health and stuff. And there is this thing called post-traumatic growth that actually when you recover from trauma, you go on to do something. This sounds, I'm really picking myself up here. You go on to do something great.
I love that.
Do you know what I mean?
What was it, Sharon? What was it that you said few weeks ago at the end of that episode? God, I can't remember it. So you're going to have to swallow your pride. What was it that was absolutely outrageous?
I once said, Helen, and I mean, what a tosser. I said something, it just came out. I said, like, and yeah, the secret to my success in sobriety. And I thought, you absolute.
Oh, yeah, the secret to my success is.
Oh, dear God. I didn't mean it like that.
And I said it like such a wanker.
I know.
The secret to my great, great, great success.
I am actually going to own that, right? Because, like, yes, you never feel comfortable saying stuff like that, do you? But anyway, Effing Hormones has been great. And I'm going to say that because I'm bloody proud of it, right? It's a podcast for perimenopausal women. We started recording during lockdown. I don't know, those of you listening who are menopausal, who might have been following this whole story, might have seen Davina's amazing documentaries on TV, which have been massively groundbreaking and massively contributed to the whole conversation. Menopause Revolution, we call it on the podcast. But we actually started before that. And so the post-traumatic growth thing, I had basically just got fed up with the lack of support that I'd got from my healthcare providers down the years, been going backwards and forwards to GPs, not getting any support. They just wanted to dole out antidepressants and sort of pat you on the head and send you on your way, which made me very ill. It didn't help me at all. All these mad symptoms, just mad symptoms, all kinds of things, not just the stuff that was related to the alcohol. And after it, honestly, it was about 4 years of this, and I just got very angry, and I was like, right, now that I've had all this therapy, I know what to do with this anger. And with the anger prompts you to act on something, right? That's how you turn anger into being a good thing. So I was like, right, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to make this podcast with my friends. We're going to talk about it. We're going to bust this taboo, because I am sick and bloody tired of no one talking about it. I'm sick and tired of the fact of not getting any support. I'm sick and tired of the fact that people don't feel like they can talk about it at work. And I'm sick and tired of women particularly, although, you know, plenty of people go through perimenopause and menopause, not just women. I'm sick and tired of them feeling like they don't have a community. And I wanted to bring together grassroots people in a community, just talk about their experience and smash this bloody taboo around it. Because I was, you know, it just made me angry. And I thought the thing that made me angry was that, like, basically women are being judged on their ability to have children or not. And I just thought, that is absolute, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. Right. So because it's me and my mates, we're the old drinking club. Right. We used to go out like in our 20s and, you know, have a few pints after work. And we're all bemoaning our hormonal situation over Zoom, over lockdown. Some of them with wine, some of us were not. And I could hear the podcast and I was like, right, let's do it, girls. And we made it. We made our first series. It did very well. We won a British Podcast Award last year, which was very exciting. And we get emails from women saying that they had been feeling suicidal and that they no longer felt suicidal because they knew that they had a gang to hang out with. So yeah, I am going to claim that that is pretty great, actually. And that is my post-traumatic growth, you know?
Phenomenal.
And what was the secret to your success?
Well, you just drop that for now. Just leave it.
Oh, you're meaner. You're mean.
So mean.
What do you mean, Helen, when you say plenty of people go through the menopause, not just women?
Oh, well, gosh, you've got non-binary people, you've got trans men go through menopause and perimenopause. Right. I mean, there's an episode of Effing Hormones where you can listen to a couple of experiences. Yeah. So, yeah, we one of the things that, can I swear?
Yes, please.
Right. One of the things that pissed us off the most was this sort of the lack of representation, right? Because if you Googled menopause before the whole Davina thing happened, what you would see was a very old, very grey, white woman frowning, standing in front of a fan, looking pained, or holding open a fridge door and sticking a head in the freezer, always white. And, you know, we, all four of us, we sort of cover, you know, most of the LGBT, you know, spectrum, being as South Asian. We were just really passionate about not just breaking the taboo, but also, you know, I was like, I'm an ex-raver, for God's sake, right? I'm going to Google this. I don't see anyone sort of where, you know, that looks like me, you know, that I feel acts like me. It just looks like old women wearing beige cardigans. And so, you know, busting that image thing was a big thing for us. And representation is a really key part of that.
And just, I don't want to forget, because you said lots of things. And I know, Shaz, you want to get more into some specifics. But the other thing was, in terms of kind of your mad symptoms, as you described them, could you tell us about what some of those mad symptoms were? I mean, I was, you know, as comfortable as you're.
Yeah, fine. Listen, I'm happy to dole them out. We've talked about them in detail on the podcast, believe me.
I thought you might do.
So there's like migraines, heart palpitations, tingling hands and feet, like itchy, crawling skin. I lost two teeth because I developed loads of gum problems. I developed these gut health problems, which has really been my sort of main issue for the past few, I mean, this is years I'm talking about here, like years. Part of the reason why I left my job a couple of years ago is because I was just ill all the time. Like anxiety just like dropping on me, like for no reason, you know, because I was like, listen, I've Googled my own brain. I've done loads of CBT. I've done loads of therapy. There is no reason why I should have this anxiety. Nothing, that it's not coming from my brain. Something is like, it's dropped on my body and I've just got this anxiety. It's bloody awful, to be honest with you. And it was really hard trying to work through it. And I'm not a massively old mum, but I had my little boy when I was 38. So trying to hold, my partner does shifts, he works in the NHS, so trying to hold it all together when you just feel shit all the time, it's really hard, you know. And then as we've spoken to lots of other people, so for example, Bina gets something called burning mouth syndrome, which is you literally feel like your mouth is on fire, and you just suck on ice cubes, and that's a perimenopausal or menopausal symptom. And I think that, you know, a very, very common story is that people sort of tip up in the old days. I think it's getting better now. People tip up and it's like, well, if you haven't got hot flushes, if you're not over, for, you know, if you're not over a certain age, you haven't got hot flushes, don't know what you're talking about, you know. And there's such a wide gamut of symptoms. And the mental health thing as well. I mean, you know, I don't think the experience, the impact of perimenopause, particularly on mental health, has been appreciated that much until more recently. We've had this big menopause conversation happening in the UK. You know,
I've just gone to the notes on my phone while you were just speaking there, talking about that list of 3 billion symptoms. And
yes,
the reason I've done that is because, and I can't believe this, it's exactly 1 year to the day on the 10th of October 2022, so we're recording on the same date today, 12 months later, and I made a list to take to my GP. It's quite a short list at this stage. Shooting pains in the boobs, hairs on chin, hair falling out, anxiety, weight gain around the middle, forgetfulness, brain fog, no/irregular periods, bladder worse than ever, in brackets, London Marathon made it worse. I mean, that's a whole other story.
Well, you're just asking for it there, Sharon, aren't you? Be healthy.
Never again. Never again. My point being there, so that was 12 months ago. So I'd have been 4 years alcohol free at this point. Mm-hmm. Dear God, if I was still drinking through this, and I imagine this is the case for so many women, we're of a similar age, Ellen. I'm 49, 50 next month. Some of the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause, couple that with the symptoms of a hangover and what alcohol does to you, you're going to be going around in flipping circles. So to remove the alcohol, you know, like Ben says, we don't go finger wagging and say, you must stop doing this, you must stop that. But I think once you get to a certain age and you are feeling like absolute shit, to give yourself a chance to know what you're dealing with, consider that break from alcohol, remove it, and then you're left with your symptoms. Discuss.
Well, it's interesting because it was having such an impact on my physical and mental health that I felt like I didn't have a choice. And in the end, it was like actual relief, you know, stopping drinking, because it was like, you know, I've got to, you know, and this has been a process of like 6 or 7 years I've been at this now, right, working on my health. There are very, very many women, and I don't know how many women give up alcohol during menopause, but like anecdotally, from listening to other podcasts and being part of this, you know, sphere, I guess, so many women say, you know, I had to, you know, gave up alcohol, I feel so much better. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I was passionate about coming on here, because I don't miss alcohol at all. When I have conversations with people about it, they're like, oh, but you must feel so much better. And I'm like, well, you know what? Actually, I didn't. I just felt less shit. But now I'm kind of through it. But, you know, listen, I'm on a special diet, doing my exercise. I'm like this yogini. I'm like this meditator. You know, the girls took the piss out of me in the first episode of Effing Hormones, because I was like, if you'd have told me that I would have been a meditating yogini, like, I would have told you to sod off, you know, 20 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it is, I've had to put all these things into practice in order to maintain my sanity and my health. And then you've got, like, you know, Emma's the host of Effing Hormones. She's never going to give up booze. She bloody loves it. She's never going to give it up. I think Emma still thinks she is 25. But it doesn't seem to have the impact on it. And this is the whole thing about perimenopause and menopause, right? The symptoms are so varied. It's so individualized. But what I would say is that, like, if you are perimenopausal or menopausal, or you think you are, just give it a go for a bit, because you will feel better.
We are just going to take a very quick break from this fabulous chat with Helen. Loads more to come very, very shortly. Listening to this, you might be possibly halfway through Sober October. How is it going? Are you enjoying it? Is it like you thought it would be? Are you clinging on for dear life? Or could you do with a little bit of an extra helping hand? If that is the case, and welcome to all our new members, by the way, just head to the website. Feel free to come and join us for the month of Sober October into November, and then possibly remember December. See what we did there? All the information is on the website overtheinfluence.co.uk. Basically, we're not a recovery programme. We are about support, motivation, inspiration. And the most important thing that we found since doing this more than 2 years ago, it is that connection. We host Zoom calls every single day, usually at 9 a.m, 1 p.m, and 7 o'clock at night, UK time. I run a couple on a Saturday morning, again, early, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock BST. You're welcome to join 15 Zoom calls a week, or if just one or two do it for you, then absolutely fill your boots. It's about making the community work for you. Support, inspiration, connection. It's vital. It's absolutely vital. And where possible, a lot of those connections are taken into real life. Our members get together in their areas, wherever that might be, OTI Northwest, OTI Southeast, wherever. And as well, at the moment, we've not got this finalised yet, but talking of that connection, we are currently working on our OTI Outdoor Adventures for 2024. We've done about a dozen this year and they have been off the flipping scale. So, so good. If you want any info at all, you can drop us an email direct, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk, or just head to the website, overtheinfluence.co.uk. Let's get back to the episode.
Can I ask you, Sharon, about what you described as a shortlist? It didn't feel very short when you were reading it out. How many of those symptoms do you think that you, like, let's say that you were still drinking.
Yeah.
Would you have got all of those symptoms on that list to take to the GP as potential symptoms of perimenopause? Or would some of those maybe not made the list because you would have gone, oh, that's the drinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of physical symptoms on that list. The one thing that obviously would have occurred, but you see, I didn't even realise it at the time, was the anxiety with drinking and you know, the feelings afterwards, you know, the dreaded hangovers, or the hangxiety, as it's called. Forgetfulness, yeah, I mean, slash blackout, you know, we've had this discussion many, many times, haven't we? So, no, I think some of the physical things that, I think it was just a general list of feeling utterly shit and not really knowing why. And you know what? If it wasn't for discussions like this, if it wasn't for people like you, Helen, doing your podcast, if it wasn't for Davina, the people that I've interviewed in my day job at BBC Radio Lancashire, I swear to God, I'd have thought I was going mad. And still to this day, I just go, oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness I'm not drinking. It's a relief. Like you said, you used the word relief before, didn't you?
Yeah.
Talking about how you felt when you realised that that's what was causing your health issues. Now I just feel lucky that I know what's real and what's not, and what's not being tinged by, you know, the dreaded booze. And I feel for so many women that I know are struggling with perimenopause, with menopause, with mental health, and with alcohol. Mm. And you sometimes just want to go, I know what might help just for a little bit. It's not going to solve all your problems, but I do know what might be a massive, massive help. And we always say, Helen, you know, if you are considering changing your relationship with alcohol, you're thinking of taking a break from the booze. Yes, Sober October is a brilliant, brilliant start. So is Dry January, most miserable month ever known to man, but it's a good start. But it's pushing through that 30 days, getting to triple figures, to 100. And then when you start to actually feel the real physical, but in a lot of cases, the real mental health benefits as well.
Yeah, and I do think those months are a good idea, because it gives you a reason to do it, right? Because especially when you're first doing it, like, and you're talking to people and you have those kind of conversations that do make you feel a little bit like, socially awkward, right? I mean, it doesn't help. And people are well-meaning and they don't mean to be, you know, they don't mean to make it harder, but that sort of attitude is, you don't drink. You know, it's like, you don't need it, do you, at the start? One of our guests, I don't know the stats or where she got the stats from, but she was, Colette Walsh, she was talking about the fact that drinking often goes up for women during this time because they're coping. And you can completely understand why, right? But that just makes me think, oh, no, you know, because we've talked about the symptoms. We talked about how varied they are. We can talk about the fact that, you know, they're not always recognised by different healthcare professionals and there's a lot of debate. How can you work out what's going on if you're adding the sort of booze onto top of that? Because it's hard enough as it is trying to work out what's going on. You know, we didn't know about burning mouth syndrome until we did effing hormones. And Bina was like, oh, I've had that. I was like, what? Burning mouth syndrome? What?
Genuinely, today is the first day I've ever heard of that symptom.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. And I think that's right. The reason why, because I lost two teeth, right? I mean, like, you would think that your hormones, like, would anyway every time I go to the, you know, I got I had this lovely dentist because I wasn't getting anywhere with my GP. She labeled me with health anxiety because I was going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, not getting anywhere. And my lovely dentist was like, I'm just noticing that, like, when I'm on this pill, when I'm taking these antidepressants, like, my gums feel really like they don't feel right, and my teeth, my back two teeth, thank God they're at the back. And she had to whip them out. And she was like, right, I'm going to refer you to the dental hospital. And I saw this consultant in the end. And every single time I see someone, they're like going, well, it's very rare, but yes, it does happen. And I'm like, it's not bloody rare to me, love.
Oh,
you know, great. I'm very rare. I'm like, great. No one knows about it. Don't lose two teeth.
Are you learning lots here, Ben, on this episode?
You know what? I always do. And I always enjoy these kind of conversations. Like I mentioned briefly at the beginning, you know, this is something that it feels like, yes, absolutely. Isn't it great that there are so many more resources out there now for women, podcasts to listen to, etc. But, you know, I was just thinking when you were saying earlier about the Shaz, you feeling like, oh, thank God, you know, I'm not going mad. Like, it's not even that long ago that women would have felt like that and then not had that resource, like, you know, what you're doing with effing hormones or whatever. I went a bit quiet because, and I'm not sure if you were like this, Helen, I love the stats. I love looking at the analytics in the back end of our podcast. I just thought it would be interesting, as we're having this conversation, to see, of our nearly now a million downloads, well in Shaz, nearly there. Great news.
Fabulous.
How many of, like, what's the percentage of our audience in terms of men and women? And actually, 62.4% of anyone that's ever downloaded Over the Influence is a man on this, according to these stats. People listen to this podcast, we know, on their own. A lot of people are, you know, definitely already alcohol-free and thriving. There are some people who are sober curious as well. But let's say that, you know, 6 in 10 people listening to this podcast are men. Let's just take the hypothetical situation that they are a heterosexual man that is married to a woman who might be experiencing perimenopausal symptoms. How does a man start that conversation with someone they love about alcohol and perimenopause? Do you think that men should be included in this conversation? Do you think that men should butt out and leave it for people who are experiencing these symptoms to talk about? What's your view on that?
No. We want men involved as much as possible. But it's very hard because, I mean, you've got to remember that, you know, the reason why we started effing hormones was because Louise Minchin talked about it in 2019 on BBC Breakfast. And I know a couple of people talked about it before then, but that was a really big deal. And you've got to remember, like, how much of a taboo it was. It was a big deal. You know, when Davina came forward,
that's four years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And Davina said in the first documentary, she said, people told me not to talk about this because they said it would end my career or they would close down my career. So, she did that. And then loads of other celebrities said things. And now everybody's saying stuff. And we've been in this process of people saying stuff. But throughout all this, it is the amount of women that we saw on our Facebook page saying, I sat down and I watched that TV documentary with my husband and I cried because he could understand what I've been going through. So what you've got to remember is that women haven't understood what's been happening to them. They've been experiencing mental health problems, you know, a lot of them. And it must be awful to see your partner going through that and not understand or not know what to do. And at the same time, some people, you know, can get quite angry and fly off the handle. And, you know, it's a recipe for like really, really difficult like relationship times, right? And I think, you know, the key advice from me is just be open and just say, look, what can I help you with? You know, how can I help you? You know, and most of the time, it is just sort of sitting down and listening. For goodness sake, don't tell. Okay, that's my gentle advice, because otherwise there might be a little no mansplaining. You know what you want to, you know what you want to do about your perimenopause, do this. But you know, listen, there's some amazing resources out there. Dr. Louise Newson has got this free app called Balance. What else is there? Look up the menopause charity, just look stuff up. I mean, there will be guidance out there to say, look, this is a good way to how to handle it with your partner.
We've just had a message in the chat box from one of our community members who's watching. He said, living with a wife going through this is so hard for both of us. Mm. We do talk about it as she started HRT last year, but sometimes I don't recognise the person she is now. Her brain fog is getting better, but it's so hard when I've now been 4.5 years alcohol free. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be the best version of me and just want her to do the same, but it's taken away her spark and motivation.
Yeah, it's really, really, really hard. It's really hard. It sounds like you're being an amazing support there. Yeah, that's a shame, because, you know, some people, HRT is not entirely a magic bullet, you know. There's been this big drive to make sure there's more access to HRT because it's a long story, but previously GPs were worried about giving it to people because there was this link with breast cancer, which has sort of since been kind of rebalanced and saying, actually, you know, if you look at the balance of risk, it's a lot less risk than we thought it was in the early 2000s. Some people go on HRT and it just completely sorts them out within like 3 days. But, you know, what I would say is that it's not just HRT, it is exercise, it's meditation, it's yoga, it's mindfulness, it's therapy, it's nutrition. I have completely changed my life, right? Completely changed my life. Like, you wouldn't, like, 25-year-old Raver Helen would be like, who the hell are you? And there will be times when she doesn't want to talk about it, when she wants to bite your head off, you know, because that's what I've gone through. You know, you're confused, you're tired, you can't think of things, you're frustrated with yourself, you're frustrated with the world. It's really, really hard. I mean, I wonder, like, I've started running, right? My partner has always run. And I can't tell you how delighted he is that I've started running, because we've got something else in common now. So that has brought us closer together. So I wonder whether or not these sort of lifestyle changes can be something that might help in that respect.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? I'll share where I'm up to personally with regards to treatment and dealing with everything, because I do get asked. So I'm now on the patches, HRT patches. Started out with the tablets, but the blistering headaches that came with it, I was like, oh, it was shocking. So I went back to the docs, got the patches. I think, touch wood, whatever this is in here, I'm feeling okay. You know, I'm feeling the damn set better than I was. With regards to the exercise, Helen, I freaking hate it, right? I just fitted it into my week. I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered. But I have made a concerted effort now, and I go and see my PT once a week, and we do all the strength building stuff, you know.
Well, that's good.
That's always a pleasure, isn't it, Jess?
Well, have you got something to say?
Is he keeping his top on at the moment, is he? No, sorry. Nothing.
Actually, it's Sarah that I now train with, not Jay. Thank you. Oh, all right.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely Jay.
You've distracted me now. No running.
No, impressed with that. I'm impressed with that, because I you're supposed to do the strength training. I don't do of that. I do yoga and a bit of running.
Well, but that's all I do. And I had a chat with Sarah, and I've said, look, this is what I've been advised. This is what I want to do, because I won't ever get into it all. I can't run anymore because I've also got a bladder situation because of the hormones related to perimenopause. Blah, blah, blah. Overshare. And yesterday I went.
Effing hormones.
Sorry, Ben.
Effing hormones.
Effing. Yes. I nearly swore then. Exactly that. What was my point? You see, this happens all the time.
You're talking about exercise.
That was it. I went yesterday and I rocked up and I said, I don't want to do this. Like, I literally cannot be arsed being here. And she just says, Shaz, we'll crack on. We'll crack on. By 5 o'clock, I was like that. done. And I felt a million times better. I'm not talking about my body. I'm talking about my head. And I know what I need to do. And these conversations are so, so important, Helen, that women and people supporting women as well, be it partners or family or friends, you know, we need to know what we're dealing with. And we need to know that we're not doing this on our own. And just speaking from, you know, really real personal experience, genuinely from, I'm just so relieved that I'm not drinking through this because it...
Oh, gosh. Can you... I mean,
no,
yeah.
I can't imagine... No.
No.
I can't.
Just no.
No.
No way, man.
Have you seen Claire's message, by the way, in the chat box? Removing the booze has completely changed my menopause symptoms to the point that I actually don't think I have any, apart from the brain fog. Yeah. Is that called face palm emoji, hand smacking
face
emoji, whatever that
emoji.
One is?
That's
amazing. That's mad, isn't it? Like, Claire, please do tell us kind of, you know, if you feel comfortable doing so, just kind of like, how different, it, like how many symptoms were you looking at before? But it just, I think that's completely mad, isn't it? Like, you just do, you make one change, really. You remove alcohol and then your experience completely changes.
Your body just completely changes at this time of life. Honestly, to so many people that the booze, like the impact it has on menopause, it seems to be such a massive thing. Yeah. Good on you, Claire. Well done.
Once again, we say every week I sound like a stuck record where we're just about out of time. Helen, we could talk for hours. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so, so much. Before you go, and I, for one, I'm going to be tuning into this because it's right up my street.
Yay. You'll love it. There's lots of swearing.
Can't wait. Tell us about the podcast, what it's called, where people can find it, and if people listen, what they can expect.
Okay, so it's called Effing Hormones. It's me and my three mates, Emma, Bina and Terry. We have a laugh. We are poignant. We talk about sad stuff. We talk about everything, absolutely everything. We talk to people who have experienced perimenopause and menopause, and we talk to experts. And we've got a new episode out now with Dr. Nigar Arif, who you might recognise as the TV doctor from BBC Breakfast and ITV's This Morning. She is utterly fabulous. She has a little swear. She has a little joke. We were like, yay, you're right in there, mate. She's put out this fantastic book called The Knowledge, which is all about women's health from menstruation to menopause. And yeah, it's a barnstormer, to be honest with you. She's really about female empowerment, women's health empowerment. We talk about everything. We talk about politics, race, some of the trolling she experienced with being on the telly, being a woman of colour wearing a hijab. We talked about what inspires her. We have a right old laugh. She's utterly amazing and we love her to bits.
Helen Brown, Effing Hormones. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Fabulous. Really enjoyed that, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Helen. Really, really enjoyed that chat. And if you want to take a listen to the podcast that Helen does, just look it up on socials or online. It is called Effing Hormones. Brilliant name, brilliant woman. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that. Before we go this week, just a quick reminder about our online community. We started it July 2021, and there were two people in there, myself and Ben. It's grown and grown and grown, but it's not that massive that you feel like just a number, that you don't feel seen. It's a wonderfully supportive, friendly and really, really funny space. We absolutely adore it. When you join the community, you get access to around 15-ish Zoom calls a week. We try and do them at all different times of the day. So no matter where you are in the world, there are at least a couple that might just fit in with your day. They normally run during the week at 9 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon and 7 o'clock in the evening. You also, on occasion, get a chance to have a sneak peek at the recording of this week's podcast. I say this week's, when we record it, it'll be next week's, but you understand what I mean. So, for example, chatting to Helen on this episode, we opened it up to our members and there was about a dozen people on there just listening. Some people want to save it from Monday. They don't like it to be spoiled. They don't want to lift the podcast curtain, but it is included in your membership. So you've got the Zoom calls, you've got the chat feature, you've got the forums, you've got first dibs on all our OTI outdoor adventures. It's not a recovery program, but what it is, it's a support community full of like-minded individuals. It's
the best thing ever. And week in, week out, we simply see people's lives just changing before our eyes. We also say, when you join the community, you know, when you become a part of Over the Influence, the more you put in, the more you will get out of it. It's a game changer. And for so many people, it's that missing piece of the AF jigsaw. It is about support, inspiration, motivation and connection. If you want any further info, just head to the website overtheinfluence.co.uk or feel free to ping us an email either, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. As always, thank you so much for listening and we'll be back with you same time next week.